Hello, it's me, Scott Brennan again. And before we get to this awesome episode, I want to tell you a little bit about the sponsors we have on this show that we love to support, and they love to support us, I think, but awesome sponsors. I got to talk about, first and foremost, let's talk about Demented Brewing. Demented Brewing, located in Middlesex, New Jersey, right off of 287. It is an awesome brewery. They have awesome artwork there, tons of beers, a 16-tap tasting room, new beers every Sunday, a bottle club you can belong to, barrel club. I highly suggest it. Go there. Every week it seems like they're coming out with something awesome. They just released Lust, which is a chocolate stout, and Double Dementia, which is the double IPA. They also have a sour stout coming out this coming Sunday. And they are just an awesome brewery to go to. Please support local craft beer. Check out DementedBrewing.com. Follow them Instagram, Twitter, all that fun stuff. Awesome, awesome brewery. Again, in the craft brew world in New Jersey especially, we have our friends at Manskirt Brewing. I just went there the other day. It's pretty awesome. It's located in the Bank Building in Hackettstown, New Jersey. Old bank building. There's a vault and everything. Lots of seasonally inspired, fresh-tasting ales. Go see Joe and his Manskirt. Yeah, that's correct. His skirt or kilt. Also, tune in next week. We'll be well, 2 weeks from now, you'll hear a podcast from there. But They also got some great beers all the time. They have a new Weizenbach going on tap called Luftweizen. I probably butchered that. But again, Manskirt Brewing, please check them out. They are awesome. And again, they are just part of the awesome local craft beer scene in New Jersey that is just exploding. Which brings us to Trivia Revolution, which is fueled by craft beer. Every week, I host trivia for them once a week, but there's trivia all over the state of New Jersey. And you go to Trivia Revolution on Instagram or Twitter, you want to go play. There's a bonus item every week. You can win prizes to all sorts of breweries, including Demented, including Manskirt and Beach House and Cricket Hill and all the great New Jersey breweries. So again, you can be in last place and still win beer prizes. It's pretty awesome. It's a good time out. Trust me. Even my stupid friends like Berlew have won prizes before. So again, that is Trivia Revolution, fueled by craft beer. Finally, our longest sponsor and a good friend of mine, Richie, Wolf Nation, WULF, Wake Up, Live Free. That is an apparel company. Clothing for children, women, children, dogs, everything. It's just a company that basically, its motto is, you know, making your own way in this world. Stop living paycheck to paycheck. Get a nice, sweet line of clothing. Support your local entrepreneurs. So that is Wolf Nation, WULF Nation. Again, follow them Instagram, Twitter, WULF Nation. Wake up, live free. This episode, we got a good friend of mine from high school. He is a DJ. He also works on a paranormal ghost recon team, whatever the hell. Basically, he's a Ghostbuster / DJ. Very interesting guy. Had a really fun interview. Give a listen to Mr. Andy Rivera, and I think you'll enjoy the episode. Hold my drink!
Hey, this is Gandhi Jones. 3-time freestyle mustache world champion and an all-around world-class mustachier. And you're listening to Verbal Shenanigans.
But our shenanigans are cheeky and fun.
Yeah, I mean, his shenanigans are cruel and tragic.
Which makes them not shenanigans at all, really.
Evil shenanigans.
I swear to God, I'll pistol whip the next guy that says shenanigans.
Strawberry flavor, watered down. Strawberry flavor.
Nothing rhymes with flavor.
Much strawberry, not too much to savor. It's just got watered down strawberry flavor. Michael Berlew has terrible timing.
Yeah.
Welcome to the podcast, Mike Berlew. Welcome back. Welcome back. Thank you for joining me, I guess, or something like that. Welcome back to the Verbal Shenanigans podcast. As always, is Mike Berlew here?
Yes, I am.
Unfortunately, he still finds his way back.
Mm-hmm. You never find all the entrances.
Oh, yeah? That's not what I heard. But anyway, we're back, Mike Brother. We made it about 2 or 3 days without a national tragedy, so that's good.
No, Baton Rouge.
Yeah, well, that's what I mean. I think we had 2 days in between the one before that.
Oh, 2 days. Yep.
And then, last week, globally, I think we had 1 day between the thing in France and the thing in Baton Rouge. So, yeah, we're doing good. Doing good. Yeah.
Seems like every time we do an episode, a national tragedy happens.
Yeah, pretty much, which is pretty sad considering we do it just about once a week. So the fact that we're spaced out a week and like 3 things have happened is not a good sign.
You think God is trying to send us a message?
If I believed in God, maybe.
Okay. Do you think our viewership numbers are sending us a message?
Yes, they sure are. What the hell is going on out there, guys? What's going on?
Yeah, what the hell, man?
Where are you?
Dominic, you went to another country. You better have been telling everybody about us.
Where are you not seeing our podcast? I don't get it. I don't get it. We'll figure that out eventually.
We used to have California like crazy.
Yeah, Cali loved us. No, Cali's not showing no love.
California doesn't know how to party like us.
California knows how to party. California. You see, you did better with the timing there. You did better.
I almost got rhythm, Scott.
You have a Larry the Cable Guy shirt on.
Yeah, it's an old one.
Yeah, you couldn't be more redneck. You know, you try to hide it. I think that's what you try to suppress, like your inner redneck, and it just comes out in like NASCAR ways or Larry the Cable
NASCAR
Guy shirt.
NASCAR I didn't get into until I was like 21, so I wasn't born into it.
Yeah, but see, that's exactly what it is. It's kind of like certain diseases that don't show up until you get older. Hmm. You know, like redneck is in your genes. It's somewhere deep buried in the DNA of each of your cells.
So rednecks are like colon cancer is what you're telling the audience.
Exactly. Okay. Okay. Speaking of colon cancer, I watched that Doc and Daryl documentary. Did you see that one?
No.
It wasn't that good. It was okay. Like, as far as 30 for 30, like, I was excited to watch it because I'm a Mets fan, you know, and I know their story. But it's pretty much everything we knew. And, like, when we went to see Daryl Strawberry, it's pretty much covers almost exactly that.
Yeah, I didn't see the documentary. I did hear his interviews with on the radio station. And he brought up pretty much, he's like, when they asked him, will you do it? He's like, I will do it, but we got to be totally straight up on everything when it comes to this story. He wanted to make sure they don't block out anything like his childhood and getting up to it. And apparently some New York Mets veteran who kept on feeding him cocaine.
Mm-hmm. What's even better is, did you hear that someone asked him if he had sex in a stadium? And he was like, yeah, of course. And then it led to that he was having sex during the game.
Nice.
Yeah. Which is funny because you imagine like you Daryl usually bat fourth, so you think like when the fifth, sixth, seventh hitters are up, he's like, "You, come on down."
Listen, you need to take a couple pitches for me, okay?
That's what I was saying yesterday. Like he told the other hitters, "Please, just take pitches for this inning."
First pitch swinging. What the hell? God damn! Yeah. We got to make this fast.
Yeah, that'd be great if like, where the hell's the right fielder? He's like trotting out the right field, zipping his pants up.
He's adjusting his belt.
But yeah, after watching that documentary, there's no way that Doc Gooden is not still on shit. He looks terrible, man. He looks 100 years old.
I saw the pictures. He looked pretty bad.
He looks his face is just so like withdrawn and
sad.
Like, yeah,
and
it's like Daryl looks kind of healthy. Like Daryl looks like when we saw him, he's still a big dude. You know?
Like if he walked up to like a 10-year-old kid and he's like, "Yeah, I used to play baseball," like, yeah, when in the 60s?
I know, but it was okay. It was a good documentary. I didn't think, like, usually the 30 for 30 documentaries are all like really good. This one I thought was like average. I didn't think it was okay. Like maybe because I knew the story from reading the books and stuff like that, so it wasn't that much of a surprise. So maybe someone from like the West Coast might be like, oh, this is really cool. Like, but I don't know. It was good. Mm. I like how my segue was speaking of colon cancer.
That's the name of the episode. Yeah, speaking of colon cancer.
Do you want to keep those numbers going down, buddy? But hot week, man. We're back to the goddamn disgusting sweat and stickiness and, you know, all that fun stuff.
It's pretty bad when we got some thunderstorms in the afternoon and we still went right back up to the humidity, right back up with the temperature. It didn't even cool it down. It's almost like the heat got pissed off. It's like, oh, you want to try that on me, huh? Blah, down.
Yeah. So, like, I'm working soccer camp. Let's see what time it is. Maybe we'll get into this after our guest. Yeah, we'll get into this after our guest. Side note, editing note. Brother, what are your feelings on ghosts?
Ghosts?
I know we've talked about this like many times ago.
It's one of those.
What do you feel about ghosts?
I have no issues with it. I don't fear ghosts, as in like when I'm in a regular environment, like somebody will say, "Oh, I get a chill around here. This place creeps me out." I don't really feel that. Now, granted, I'm not the kind that will be like ghost hunters.
See, I feel that every time I go in your car. I'm like, oh, bad things have happened here.
I'm not a friendly ghost so far away. But I mean, I don't like go out of the way to fear ghosts. I believe somewhat in ghosts, but it's kind of like the UFOs, like we talked about. It's one of those when somebody says, "Yeah, I saw a ghost or I felt a ghost," it's like, "Yeah, shut up, whatever." And
well, how do you feel about the movie Ghost?
The movie Ghost. Patrick Swayze. It was very romantic.
Yeah. Did you ever get like a little like, you know, feel a little awkward when like he comes up behind her and they're they're forming the pot and he just brings his ghostly hands around her?
It's spiritual rape, basically.
Yeah. You know, I'm a victim. I'm a spiritual rape survivor.
Really?
Yeah.
Like Lucy Liu.
Spiritual rape survivor.
She claimed she had sex with a ghost, Lucy Liu.
That whore.
Yeah, exactly. She was hanging out naked in a cemetery. What did she expect would happen? Damn it, Lucy Liu. Come on, Verbal Shenanigans, and answer the true question.
The best
Lucy
is some Liu. Guy definitely just like raped her and was like, ooh, on the way out.
It was a rapist who put on like a sheet with two holes in it.
Ooh, this never happened.
Jerry Sandusky, and I would have got away with it if it weren't for you meddling kids.
Ghost DNA. Got an interesting guest coming on. I've known this guy since high school. He actually used to date my cousin.
Oh.
But he's always been... I want to bring him on for two reasons. One, he's a house DJ. He's been a DJ for a long time, and he just released an album and a music video. So it seems to be his singles doing pretty good. So I want to bring him on. He contacted me months ago about helping to promote it. And then he's also involved in like paranormal research and stuff like that. So I figure we get like the best of both worlds here. Yeah. Talk a little bit about both things.
See, he should have made the new Ghostbusters movie.
Yeah.
That would have been cool, man.
Though I heard not terrible things. A couple people I
basically heard it's eh. It's one of those, it shouldn't have all the uproar that it had going into it, but at the same time, it's like, it's a typical Hollywood reboot.
Yeah. Well, to me, like, if it's eh, it's probably did better than people thought it was going to be. Like, people never gave that thing a chance. Like, I mean, I have no interest in really seeing it. I don't.
Maybe a pay-per-view. Maybe if somebody rent it, I'll sit down and watch it. But I never liked a Melissa McCarthy movie.
No.
She's
not your girl?
No, she just really doesn't do it comedy-wise. Now, Kristen Wiig, I like. I think she's really funny.
She makes you chuckle?
Yeah, from time to time.
She makes your vocal cords vibrate.
She makes me go the ha ha motion.
She makes you do the ha ha's.
Yeah.
What the hell is Obi barking at?
Anything. Maybe there's ghosts outside.
Yeah. But I'm gonna call Andy right now. His name's Andy Rivera. He goes also by the name of DJ Dynamite. So we're gonna talk to him a little bit and see what's going on.
TNT.
Yes. That's
all I remember from the song.
That's it. You got it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so let's give.
I forgot to snap my fingers. I'm late again.
Yeah, you have such white guy timing. It's not even funny.
Thank you.
I mean, in all things, your jokes, I don't know.
Hello.
Is this Mr. Andy Rivera? This is Scott Brennan calling from Verbal Shenanigans.
What's up? This is Mr. Andy Rivera. How are you doing, Scott?
I am doing good. Let's do the whole interview like this because it's more fun.
This guy's kind of really laid back for a DJ, you know.
Well, he's a robot.
I am a robot.
Andy, what's up, brother? How you been?
pretty good, man. How's everything with you?
Yeah, good, man. Just doing the, you know, the old work and trying to do the comedy and the podcast kind of thing. But well, welcome to the show. We just talked about how I've known you for a long time now, a long time.
We go way back.
We do go way back. You, I knew you in high school. You dated my cousin. You know,
yep.
We have a long history together.
We do.
Yeah, and you've been annoying since then.
Yes, exactly.
Scott, should I catch up to his annoyingness? I didn't know I was behind.
You just leave me alone, Mike. Just leave me alone, Mike. But
I'm the co-host.
Not for long. Andy, you got anything to do Monday nights?
He DJs. He's busy.
No. Anything. Any night. Actually, what nights are you free?
Me? I'm not free many nights anymore.
I need a co-host. I need a new co-host. But, Andy, I brought you on, one, because you... I guess let's talk about the music first. For as long as I've known you, you've been into... I guess you could, I don't know, the kids call it like EDM, but like house music and basically electronic music for a long time. So first off, where did that start? Why the electronic music?
It kind of started when I was growing up. My mom, back in like the disco days, her and her sister and a bunch of their friends used to be like, quote unquote, like disco divas back in the day. So I grew up listening to a lot of different music, but
right.
a lot of the influence came from dance music and disco, which is, you know, what my mom listened to. So from there, it just kind of progressed as I got older. You know, I started getting more into, you know, dance music, stuff that was on the radio and things like that. And then I started getting involved in the roller rink. And that's when I really started to get exposed to, like, the house music and the more electronic-sounding stuff. And then I started actually shooting some videos on the side, you know, within the last, like, 5 years. And that's when I really made the move towards, like, the really electronic, like, what would be considered the EDM type stuff.
Right. Yeah, so, like, what is it about
progression?
Like, did you start off, like, it's funny because, like, a lot of the music, like, you know, I'm around kids all the time, like high school kids and stuff, and they're really into the EDM. And it's funny because a lot of it now, minus, like, the super breakdowns, like, the really slow one, a lot of it reminds me of, like, the techno music from when I was, like, a kid and went to, like, the church dances. Like, a lot of it reminds me of that, which is kind of funny. Like, I don't know, like all that, like... Percolator and Get on the Donkey and all that stuff and Speed Racer and all that. Like, I don't know, I remember
the St. Andrew's Dance.
Exactly, the St. Andrew's Dances. I was freedom for like 2 hours every other Friday night.
Those were fun, man. I used to enjoy going to those.
Yes, but you
a lot of that sound is coming back.
Yeah It's like it's very interesting. But it's funny, you've also always been into the roller skating world too, which is kind of interesting. You got three things I want to talk to you about. It's the DJing, we'll get to the ghost stuff, and the roller skating. But it seems like you can combine the DJing and roller skating in some kind of inspiration there.
Oh yeah, without a doubt. That's where, like, a lot of my roots as far as the music that I make and that I produce. A lot of it comes from the sounds in the roller rink, because it had like a lot of that old school disco along with whatever house music was out at the time, and even old school house music, like the original stuff from back in like the early mid-80s, you know what I mean? So like the roller skating and the dance music and the production and all that definitely all ties together for sure.
When you play to a crowd, do you usually go with what you feel like to get the party going, or you have to listen to who's out on the floor?
It depends. Like, for a lot of the stuff that I'm doing right now at this point in my career, I'm playing a lot more open format gigs.
Like christenings, bar mitzvahs.
I don't do a lot of private stuff. most of the stuff I'm doing is like in bars and clubs and stuff like that.
It was a joke. It was a joke.
Oh.
ha,
you got me. Well, let me go to the robot. I mean, I've done that stuff.
Of course.
You know, that's common for a lot of DJs to do stuff like that, too. But I'm more involved, like, on the bars and the clubs, which, like I said, at this point in my career, like, nobody knows me as, like, either a house DJ or, you know, as a producer or anything like that. I'm very, very early on in that. So a lot of stuff is open format. So it goes more towards what the crowd is, you know. It's different if you're there, like, as an artist. Like, you know, you would see somebody like, you know, Martin Garrix or somebody go play someplace. They're expecting him because he's known for a specific thing.
Right.
So he can kind of go there. I mean, he still has to play to the crowd, but a lot more of what he's feeling or what he produces or what, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So it's
now did you
two different sides to that coin.
Now, what, did you, like, how does one, like, I think you probably started in high school or whatever. Did you start on, like, actual records, or did you start on, like, with a CD mixer? Like, what did you start on? Things have changed a lot.
It's funny because originally what I started on was when I actually started, like, doing real DJing, it was on CDs and records.
Okay.
But it actually, for me, started before that. I was making, and this is actually how I got into DJing. I was making these, I had this little, like, Fisher-Price tape recorder, which was, like, the kid's toy version. I was in, like, I don't know, maybe 6th or 7th grade, and I would make these, like, radio station. I would make it try to sound like a radio station, so I would record myself talking, then I would hold it up to, you know, whatever happened to be on the radio or a CD that I had, and I would play the song, and then I would come back on and talk. And I had probably a handful of these tapes, and then I wound up getting involved with another friend of mine, and me and him used to do that. And then from there, we would have sleepovers, and we would specifically do it just to make these radio shows. And then we wound up having people call us and putting them on speakerphone, like making requests, and we would do news. It was funny. I wish I still had those tapes.
It's funny you say that. I've said it many times on this podcast. Me and my friend Alex, my best friend Alex, we used to, you know, we were like hardcore influenced by, like, I would say 8th, 9th grade, Opie and Anthony and like Stern were on the radio. So we were like, we would go in with the exact same thing, tape player, and like we have the CDs and the mic. We would do our own radio show and like play music, and we'd have to, because we were using a microphone, we'd play the music from one thing and record it into the microphone, and we'd have to like be quiet throughout the whole song. We're like, here's Stone Temple Pilots with Plush.
Yep. And then that's exactly the same thing I used to do.
So we used to have
you want a sandwich? Mom! Song is playing!
We're basically making podcasts before podcasts even existed.
Exactly. Mm. It's like guerrilla radio. It's like what they did in Vietnam and stuff like that. But the only thing was we had zero audience as opposed to a small audience. But it was fun.
No difference right now.
Yeah. I beg him to look around his house for those.
I had my parents who were my audience. I used to force them to play it in the car whenever we would go somewhere. Most of the time, very reluctantly, they would play it.
Dad's got the windows open, hanging his head out the driver's side door.
Dad, did you hear my commercial for New Coke? Yeah, son, you're great. You're the next
Yeah, exactly. They're saying it through their grinding teeth.
So, Andy, you, I mean, you go under the name DJ Dynamite, right?
I used to.
Oh.
I basically just been using my real name. There was the company I worked for had another DJ Dynamite that has been much longer. He's been around much longer than me, and he's more established, and like he kind of has that name. So
are you saying you blew up the Dynamite name?
I see what you did there.
See, we're actually going to change this podcast from like talk and interview to like Z Morning Zoo format. Like, God.
You got him again, buzzer. You got him. That's the buzzer.
We just got to get like an annoying girl that's always on. Like, oh, you guys are crazy.
Thanks.
We need the voice of reason.
Yes, yes. But I guess you're just going on your name now, Andy Rivera, then.
Yeah, it's just easier.
Yeah. You know? So you recorded an album, huh?
Not an album. I did a single.
Oh,
okay. I produced a single.
I saw the video.
Thank you.
It's good. I noticed Ryan Schneff in there, a buddy from high school.
Yes. Oh, yeah. he was one of the first people I called because I knew he was always into, you know, the B-boy stuff and the breakdancing.
Yep, so yep,
like,
yep, yep. I remember having several drunken freestyle battles with him in the backyard in Avenel. I'm sure we were very good.
Mm. Oh, I'm sure it was great. I wish there was tapes of that we could hear.
Yes.
That's the tapes I want to hear.
Yes.
Sounds like we should invite him over for a beer and then have cardboard box out, just like get on the floor.
Yeah, think about that now.
Like a backyard barbecue right now.
If all that's these kids have such great opportunity now, like they can make a radio show or go on GarageBand and just make music instantly. Like we were coming up with ways to record like anything, like tape recorders, video cameras. Like I don't know, they're lucky.
Yeah.
Well, they have Pokemon Go now, so they don't need to have an imagination.
Don't even get me started.
Still waiting for my first one.
So you recorded Hold My Drink.
Yeah, well, I technically didn't record that. That was like a produced track. That was all electronic. Okay. So, you know, I produced that. I did the voice that's on there, believe it or not, is actually my voice.
Right.
So I did record that part.
It's my voice. I recorded it.
Well, I mean, you. I guess by record, I mean you put it out like as a single. You know, like you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So you put it out. You're doing pretty good. I saw you post the other day. You had like 150,000 plays or something like that.
Yeah, 150,000 plays. It's up to as of today. Actually, it's up to like 161,000 now on Spotify.
But you're not counting.
No, who's counting?
Yeah.
And probably, you know, 160 of those are mine. No, it's doing better than I thought. You know, I really didn't expect it. You know, I kind of just put it out there just for the heck of it, you know, just because it's something I enjoy doing. A friend of mine came along that I've been DJing with already for about 2 years. He's like, hey, you know, I want to start a record company, and I'm looking for some artists to release anything. If you have anything, you know, let's release it. And I was like, all right, let me make something. So I started working on it. And I handed it off to him to put out, and the rest is history. I could, you know, I figured maybe I'd get a little bit of play here and there, but when I checked and I saw the first time I looked, it was at like, I think it was 150,000 originally when I first looked.
Yeah,
and
you can't complain.
I fell out of
that.
My chair.
Yeah.
Yeah, no complaints.
So now, like, what is the goal? You're going to try to put together, like, an EP? Or is, like nowadays it's so different. Like, you don't really necessarily have to put out albums. You could just keep putting out songs, you know? Like what is your plan?
Yeah. My plan right now, I mean, I'm just kind of along for the ride. I don't really have – I wouldn't say I have, like, a set plan because, I mean, I'm really focusing more on my DJ stuff. But I do want to continue putting out music because I do enjoy it. So it's just kind of like – just sort of throw it out there and see what happens. Like, I don't really have any expectations on it.
Right.
So, you know, as I get time to work on stuff, I do it. And that's really it. There's really not much of a plan, per se.
Right.
You know, I'm contracted with Neck Brace Records for one more track.
There you go.
So that's, I'm almost done with that, actually. I'm in the final stages of that.
What's the name of that one going to be?
I have no idea yet.
That's a good name for a song. Yeah. I like that.
That's a perfect name for a song.
I have no idea.
That sounds like all my songs. I don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah. It sounds like your time here, your comedy routine, everything. Yeah.
Yeah.
But so
I have a rhythm to my style.
You, like, oh, God, I really want to drown you in the lake. So you stick to... I guess, like, can you explain, like, the difference between house and, like, all the different electronic styles? Like, what makes house house, and how is it different, and how is it, like, similar to a lot of the electronic music we know?
Well, for me personally, I mean, it's kind of...
It's got to be a blend.
It's kind of a gray...
Right.
It's kind of a gray area. I think a lot of it has more to do with, like, how you feel. You know, like house music, I think, is a lot more soulful,
right?
Versus, like, you know, the quote unquote EDM stuff that, like, you hear at these big festivals with, like, the heavy drops and stuff like that. It's not that it doesn't have soul, but it's a lot more
breakdown oriented.
Yeah, like it just sounds more mechanical. You know what I mean?
Right.
Versus, like, house music kind of has a lot more of a flow to it, but again, I think it all sort of falls into personal preference because there's so many subgenres. So, like, something that I might consider house music, somebody else might consider, like, techno.
Yeah. Or, see, that's, you know, where I always get confused.
Yeah. I guess it's kind of like rock. I mean, everybody's, like, alternative and heavy metal and blah, 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 but nobody really, quote-unquote, calls it rock.
Yeah, like, there's so many, like, for me, I just kind of, like, in my music library for when I DJ, I just have a crate that says house music, and whatever I consider to be house, I throw in there, you know? Like, the EDM stuff is a lot. There is a differentiation. Let me try that again. You can differentiate between house and EDM because EDM just has, like, such a, it's so synth-heavy, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
Very electronic sounding, very just synthy, I guess. No. The best way I could describe it.
Now, like, it pisses me off if I see these videos of, like, I'm sure it pisses you off. I've seen you actually post a few things, so... but, like, you see these DJs, like, turning a knob and, like, rocking out like crazy and spinning around. And, like, how many of them are actually doing something and how many of them are just playing an iTunes playlist in front of a big crowd?
It's really hard to even answer that because there's, like, the people who are actually doing it for real.
Right.
Meaning, like, when they turn a knob, like, it's actually doing something.
Right.
Like, they're actually performing versus... acting like they're performing.
Because that's got to drive you crazy if you're like a pure DJ. Like, you know.
Some guys will go really nuts over it. Like, I know guys who, I mean, they'll not even talk to someone or wouldn't want to work with someone, even on a producer end, because, they would say, oh, they're a quote-unquote fake DJ. I don't really try to concern myself too much with that unless it's something like really obvious and like really right. like there's that one video of that kid playing. He's just like a young dude and you see everybody rocking out and his friends are standing there watching him and he's turning all these knobs and somebody zooms up on the board he's using and it's not even plugged in because it's not even wired coming out, you know. Like that kind of stuff. Like I in the beginning I got kind of pissed off about stuff like that, but now it's just like it's comical, you know?
See, I've been trying to do that to Mike here. I've been trying to unplug his mic and let him think that he's on the show, but...
I've been talking for the last 30 minutes. What are you talking about? I have some great views on my DJing.
Yeah. You know, it's like some guys DJ will get Schmuck. Upset because, you know, people use the sync button sometimes. You know, it's a lot more involved than just being able to beat match, you know? Mm. You got a song selection. It's, you know, being able to read your crowd and... I don't know. It used to piss me off. It doesn't really bother me much anymore, though.
When you go out to a gig or when you're making a single, how much do you balance like an actual plan versus just going with the flow and trying stuff out?
Again, that's like on a case-by-case basis. A lot of times when I'm playing like the open format stuff, I will stick more. I'll say like it's a 80-20 split, you know, like I'll play 80% of stuff that I know is going to work and stuff that I know is, you know, popular and that people will get behind and want to dance and have a party, and 20% stuff that I'm just kind of experimenting with and, hey, let me give this a shot and see how it works. If I'm playing like as myself as an artist, where it's more like a house music gig or something like that, then I'll be a lot more likely to, you know, I'll do, you know, 60-40 the other, 80-20 the other way, you know. Right. So I'll just play a lot more stuff because it's more about feeling in that type of a setting than it is about what people are going to know.
What's the worst gig you ever did? Like, the worst gig, it could be a private, like, party, like, you know, like, where you're just like, oh, God. Like, I'll give you an example. I did comedy about 3 weeks ago in front of four people who all did not want to pay attention whatsoever and talk the whole time and were too busy filling their buffet their buffet table food onto their plate. So that's always fun.
Yeah, that sounds frustrating.
Yeah, it's great. It's great, but you cut
and
your
you're up there, you know,
you gotta do it.
You're trying your ass off.
That's it.
To get these people and they just don't want them to do it. That's a shame, man.
Oh, dude, it happens all the time. It happens a lot.
Yeah, it's the same with DJing, you know. You get some. I've been in front of a room where it's the same, it's literally the same exact story, only I'm playing music versus trying to make people laugh, you know? It's like,
See, at least music you can blend into the background, it's like whatever. Comedy, you just look like a big ass when no one's watching or laughing. Right, Mike?
True.
Yeah, at times. Okay.
Well, yeah, that's the thing, you know, with music you can kind of, all right, you're feeling the vibe, it's like, all right, it's a chill vibe, nobody's really paying much attention, I'm just going to play, you know, background.
Right.
Versus, like you say, you're on stage and you're the focal point, and you can't be background at that point.
Nope.
You know?
I actually have a story. I have a high school buddy who's actually a full-time DJ, and they were looking for, remember the Vapor Room?
Yeah.
They were looking for a DJ for their Halloween party.
Uh-huh.
So I told him about it. He got the gig, blah, blah, blah. And like the day later, I'm like, hey, I hope it all went out good. He's like, I appreciate you giving me the job. But basically, I asked him where to set up. I set up my entire stuff outside. The second I was done, they said, you know what? Never mind. Bring it inside. Took 2 hours to take down everything, bring it in. And then when at the end of the night, there were 4 people there and nobody was listening. He's like, it was one of the worst gigs of my life. So thank you, but don't do it again.
So the comedy shows and DJ gigs are the same there.
Yeah. I got a rhythm going here, as we pointed out earlier.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a lot of work. It's a lot of work moving that stuff around. I don't know how big his setup was, but even a small setup, you know, you get it all set up, you get your wires laid out, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh no, move it over here.
Yeah, it happens in video all the time. But let's talk ghosts real quick. Let's talk ghosts.
Okay.
So you have also been involved in, like, I don't know what you call it, paranormal research? Is that paranormal?
Yep.
Yeah. So, So first off, when did this start?
Ever since I was young, I kind of always had somewhat of an interest in it. But I never really put much thought into it because it just kind of became a normal part of what I was experiencing at home. And then once we moved from where we were to a new house, things kind of got a little bit more active. We would see things and hear things, but again, you know, at that point in time, it was before the TV shows came out and all, so you really didn't know much about the fact that people were actually out looking for this stuff and trying to document it. So it just became, you know, we saw the ghost today, all right, big deal, you know, or, oh, I heard a voice over there, oh, okay, that's cool, it's a little creepy, but okay, and then we would just kind of move on. And then after I graduated high school, I ran into someone that I knew from high school. I don't know if you remember Ray Manicucci?
Yep.
So I ran into him, and it was at, like, the bowling alley in Linden. I had just happened to be there one night, and, you know, we start talking, we catch up. It's probably like, I'll say at least 2 or 3 years. Actually, probably like 5 years after we graduated. And, you know, we're just catching up and whatever. And he mentioned it to me. And I'm like, oh, that's cool. You know, that sounds really interesting. And he's like, yeah, we were on the TV show Ghost Hunters at one point in time. The one guy that's on the show now, he was originally on our team. And, you know, I've been trying to get something going again. If you guys, you and your girlfriend at the time, she's not my wife, you guys want to come along, you know, why don't you come along, we'll do an investigation. I was like, all right, cool. So long story short, we went to the abandoned Lambertville High School, had, you know, he brought all his equipment and stuff like that, and we were hooked. And I was like, oh, this is so cool, you know. Yeah. Like, I took all those things that I learned about growing up, like that I experienced, and I was like, wow, now this puts a whole new meaning to all of that. And we wound up sticking with that team for a while, and then we branched off and started our own team, and now here we are.
It's funny you say that. I went to, that guy Ray, I went to like an abandoned monastery in Staten Island or something with him, like a long time.
Okay. Yep.
Yeah. And that was pretty,
I don't know where that's at.
That was pretty freaky. But so how do you, like, go about, like, what, I don't even know where to start. Do you go on your own, or do people ask you to come out? Like, what do you do?
It's a combination of both. A lot of it is, at our level anyway, a lot of it is legwork, where, you know, if you want to go to a certain place, if you know if there's a haunted place around you, you would kind of go there and say, hey, you know, we heard that your establishment has some stories around it that say there's ghosts. You know, can we come and check it out? You know, we do research, we document it. You know, we want to try to see if we can catch anything. In other cases, it's the opposite, where, you know, a homeowner that thinks they have something going on, they're uncomfortable, or they just want to kind of see if they're really going crazy or if they're really experiencing some kind of like validation.
Right.
And then, you know, through the grapevine or through Facebook or whatever, they'll contact us. And then we'll, you know, we'll set up an interview, we'll go there. In some cases, it's just they're looking for validation. Other cases, it's because they really are in fear of what's happening, and they want to try to get to the bottom of it.
When you do these, how do you calm your body down to not, let's say, over hyper your senses where you go, oh, that's something, oh, that's something?
Constant shit. Just a constant shit from start to end.
it's not easy. It takes a lot of mental, I guess, fortitude, I guess would be the word, to not give in to those impulses, because naturally, once you think of something, like if you're going into a place and you already think there's something going on, or you know stories about it, your mind is automatically going to look for those things. So you're going to wind up, like you said, you know, everything winds up becoming like, oh, that's something. Oh, that's something. Oh, that must be a ghost. It's just a lot of preparation. Like, you have to constantly be thinking objectively. And when you catch yourself going in one direction or another, then you got to bring yourself back to center and say, all right, we're here for this purpose. This is how we decide what we're going to decide. We need to stick to that plan.
Interesting. Like, so give me a crazy story. Give me something that's happened to you guys.
All right. Crazy story. There's a lot.
Just give me like one. Give me a good one.
We were in Vegas with 13 hookers then.
There it is.
Not that kind of story.
Oh. You didn't specify. We said everyone tell her wives we were ghosts.
I think the craziest. I have two. Can I give you two?
Yeah. Sure, Andy. You can give me two.
Oh, yes. The first one would be from... The first one was out in Staten Island at Snug Harbor, which is a quick little background. It's an old... It's basically a community that was set up for retired sailors back in the 1800s that didn't have families and things like that. You know, they didn't have health care and retirements back then.
All right.
So it was set up as a place for them to go. And it was, you know, they were fed there, they were housed, they were given clothes, entertainment. You know, they basically could go there and live the rest of their life happy. We were in one of the dormitories, which is now a museum. And up on the third floor, we were getting hits on some of our meters and hearing footsteps. It was like, oh, you know, old wooden floors. We're getting hits on our meters, hearing these footsteps, started seeing shadowy kind of like motion at the far end of the hallway from where we were. So we started trying to interact, and we said, all right, you know, if you're here and you can hear us, come towards the things we have on the floor. You know, they're about 10, 15 feet in front of us. We have stuff on the floor. On the count of three, go to it and it will make a noise. These were EMS meters. So in paranormal talk, if you're, you know, the theory is that if an entity is trying to manifest itself, that it will manipulate the magnetic fields in the air. So that's what we're trying to get to happen. So we're like, all right, on the count of three, go near the boxes on the floor. One, two, three, boom, it will go off. So then we just kept trying to do that over and over again, and we had a pretty good success rate, you know, because we wanted to make sure it wasn't a fluke. Then we started hearing, again, we heard the footsteps, and we started snapping pictures because we started seeing stuff. In the pictures, we saw some shadowy stuff that didn't really belong, that we couldn't figure out or recreate.
Interesting.
Coupled with, so we heard some audio on our recorders that when we went back and played it, it was there. But at the time, we never heard it whistling. It's actually on our website.
Yeah.
And then the second one was we were in Tom's River at an apartment. And when we were still setting things up, the one guy, Greg, who was just me and him there that night. And we're setting stuff up, and the people were using the top of a candle, like a glass top from a Yankee candle. They were using it as an ashtray. And we were in the other room, and I happened to be coming down the steps and turning a corner, and that table was, you know, 4 or 5 feet in front of me, and I saw this thing lift up off the table, and it went right towards my friend Greg.
What?
Who was on the other side of, yeah, he was on the other side of a glass sliding door smoking a cigarette outside. And had it not been for that door, it would have hit him. It hit the door right next to him.
Ooh. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
And it happened so fast. I was like, what? You know, everybody flips out at that point. Because, you know, you don't expect something like that. Even though you're doing this stuff, like, you don't expect to see that happen right in front of you. You know? You expect to see it out of the corner of your eye, or you hear it in the other room, and you go look, or you see it on your camera. Wow. That was pretty crazy.
Wow. And you were able to keep your cool during that, or what?
That particular time, I was a little bit overexcited. But it wasn't like out of being scared. It was like, oh my God, I actually just saw that, you know?
It'd be funny if, like, the one in Staten Island was just some, like, drunk Guido trapped in the...
Get away, you stupid kids!
Hey, yo, hey, what are you doing over there?
Hey, leave me alone. Hey, boo, boo.
Hey, I'm trying to rest in peace over here.
Boo, boo. Are you scared? Boo. Fucking boo.
You do that good, man.
Yeah, boo, boo. But, Andy, so, like, if someone wants to go check out your song or whatnot, or check out some of your work, where can they go?
I have a website. Everything is pretty much on there. I post any productions that I'm doing, remixes, mixtapes, live recordings from different venues. That's at djandyrivera.com, all one word.
Okay.
I'm also on Instagram, AndyRivera_official.
Right.
And I'm on Facebook, facebook.com/DJAYAndyRivera.
All right, man. So yeah, I hope the song keeps doing well, and whenever you get your next one up, we'll definitely promote it, and you're more than welcome to come back on sometime.
Here, there, we'll All right, root man. For roller rinks to come back into style.
Yeah, you need a way to combine all three things: roller rinks, ghosts, and DJing, and you would you knock it out of the park.
This sounds like a business plan. Are we gonna partner up or what?
That's fine. You put the money down, and I'll I don't
Woo, these are scary beats. Woo.
Boom. Boom. Fucking
well, thanks for having me on the show, man. Yeah. It's great talking to you guys, and I appreciate it.
Yeah, man, it's good catching up, and good luck with everything, all right?
Nice meeting you,
man. All right, talk to you soon.
Fucking boo.
Later.
Boo. Bye.
Fucking boo. Why all these kids want me to go boo? What the hell?
And these kids, these kids are
I'm
fucking
I'm just sitting here being a ghost. People come in, nice and dark, and trying to sleep. What the fuck?
Kids just
they got no respect. What can I tell you?
They just come up into my city, and they want to come off my shit, and they don't expect
things to happen.
Smoking
outside on my patio. What do you want me to do? I threw a candle at them. What do you want?
Fucking boo.
What's going on down there?
I'm trying to adjust something.
Yeah.
This is where you carry the show, buddy.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah.
We saw how that went last time.
Yeah. I have great ad-lib skills, you know.
Yeah. But
what's the deal with pork shoulders?
So, again, that is go to Verbal Shenanigans, and that is email me at new co-host in the headline. And
oh, you're always kidding. I know you're going to cut this out.
No, new co-host would be nice. Anyone.
Body.
Anyone.
You always kid.
It's funny. I did have an idea today about going to like a public place and setting up shop the podcast and like having some kind of sign and just says like sit down and tell us your story, like just random people like come on
cool.
And see if they got anything.
I would
crazy.
Love to do it like on the boardwalk or something like that. You get to different ranges of people, you know.
Yeah, just like random, like whatever's completely random. But anyway, that's Andy Rivera. Interesting dude, man. He's got
a
lot
cool
of cool
story.
A lot of cool stuff going on. We could talk to him about ghosts for hours here, but. What I was saying before we got to the guest was, I was talking about kids.
You talk about soccer camps.
Oh, yeah. So I'm working soccer camp. It's hot as hell. Mm-hmm. I'm on the turf. It's about 100 degrees. With the turf is like 10, 15 degrees hotter than the ground.
It's cool that the school got the AstroTurf out there. They really put money into the soccer field.
Yes. Yes.
Like the old... Now, is it like the old school AstroTurf, or is it like the fake plastic?
No, it's real nice. You got the rubber beads and everything.
Oh.
So... Now, I'm coaching kids going into high school. These are kids going into high school. And a mom shows... So she comes up. She's like, what time is lunch? We're like, oh, like we're going to break for lunch at 11. She's like, okay. I'm going to come back. I'm like, okay. Well, these are kids going into high school. She comes back around 10:45, sets up two chairs with like covering on them, sets them up a little table... Drops them off like little McDonald's bags, like ice waters, those little fans that spray the mist, like a little table. You know, all the other kids are like sitting on the ground eating. I'm like, I'm just thinking to myself, like,
was there a maitre d' with this?
If that was my mom, I would die. Like, the other guys seeing me, my mom doing that.
Harold, I set up the mist machine. Get over here.
Mom, I'm trying to play soccer. Stop embarrassing me.
My mom would drop me off, I would be out of the car before the car even stopped. Be like, see you later, Mom.
Yeah.
You know, like, shoot right out. It just got me so, like, frustrated about, like, you know, I get nervous for what the next generation of kids is going to be like. Now, I know every generation says that, but it's our fault. It's our generation's fault, and the generation before us,
Well, we were the smart ones, so we said, we're going to change everything. Yeah. And then we look at the results and like, oh, shit, why didn't our parents stop us?
It was so bad, man. And it had me thinking, like, because I was doing a little writing, like, after this. And I even posted something on Facebook. But it was, like, more about, like, kids are so protected nowadays. Like, I know we've said this before. Like, there's no, like... Kids don't meet at the park and play baseball. Like, everyone meet up at a certain time. We're going to play. They don't meet up at the ballpark. They don't meet up at the basketball courts. They don't ride their bikes around endlessly until their parents told them what time to be home. And it's, like, so sad for me. Like, every step of their life is planned. Who they're playing with. It's like an arranged marriage. Like, oh, you're going to play with Berlu on Friday at 2 o'clock till 4 o'clock.
And yeah, I got a friend.
Yeah. Yeah, imagine that. Imagine the poor kid that would have to deal with someone like you.
They're special.
Yeah, they're like dying to get
they're
out.
They're my best friend.
Their
whoever
bike,
shows up,
their bike and escape. but it's sickening. Like everything's planned. There's no like, we don't give our like we don't have both of us don't have kids, but we don't give our kids any room to like fail,
explore,
fail, like yep. make mistakes, explore, go get hurt.
Yep, you know, get in trouble.
Get in some trouble. Like, learn consequences. Like, everything is bubbled all the way through college. Mm-hmm. Like, I think all it's going to cause is kids to, like, not be able to handle problems on their own, have meltdowns and, you know, like, can't handle it and things like that. Like, I think about... We would stay out all day long out on the bikes, and there was just people in the neighborhood. Like, everyone's worried about their kids getting molested and scooped up by vans. Now, back then, you're telling me there were no child molesters back then? Like, they were just all... hidden, like, we didn't even, you knew who the wackos in the neighborhood were. Like, you knew, well, that's Crazy Gary. Gary walks around with a shopping cart full of bottles and asks kids to, like, come play with him. You just stay away from Gary.
Mm-hmm.
There was dogs roaming around. You see a dog on the street now, and they're like, oh, my God, it's probably got rabies. Like, I saved the dog the other day, by the way.
Oh, cool.
He was in the middle of the street, and he was, like, cars going by. I got out of the car and, like, ran back to the like chased him and he wouldn't come near me, and then eventually he went back to his house and a girl was coming out of the door. I'm like, is this your dog? And she's like, oh my God, yeah. I'm like, well, he's in the middle of the street, like, but anyway, like, you, there was straight,
how dare you chase my dog.
Dogs roaming around back then was like, oh, that's that's Dixie, the golden, the yeah. German Shepherd. He's
that's a Johnson's dog. Look at him out there.
Don't go near him. Remember what he did to Billy.
Oh yeah.
But it's like we had this guy, I'm pretty sure his name was Terrence. Okay. We would always be playing basketball. He would come up walking around in his Daisy Duke cut-off jean shorts, right? Come up to us in the middle of our pickup basketball games and be like, hey, guys. You know, hey, what's up? What's up, guys? And we'd be like, oh, hey, Terrence, you know, Terrence. And then he would be like, let me show you how to shoot. Let me just show you.
Let me show you something.
Let me show you how to shoot. And he would go to the foul line, and he would, like,
underhand
and a two. And a granny style it, and, like, hit a couple, miss a bunch. And he's like, you know, this is the old school way of shooting. You know who I taught? I taught Wally Szczerbiak how to shoot. Yep, true story. Now he's in the NBA. I taught Wally Szczerbiak how to shoot. And we'd be like, you know, that's just Terry being Terry. Like, okay, go on, move on.
I know a comedian that kind of sounds like that, but go on.
Who?
JW.
Oh, yeah. But yeah, he'd be like, oh, I taught Wally Szczerbiak how to shoot, blah, 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 blah. And you just learned to deal with things and, like, stay with your friends and, like, just kind of ignore them and avoid people. We had a guy in Avenel when I grew up. We went to this some kid's house, and there was these adults having a party. He's like, come in here. And he was like, he had a snake around his neck, a big piece of white trash. And he's like, you know, my name's blah, 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 blah. They call me the heroin king. I'm the heroin king of New Jersey. Now, was he the king? I don't know. But I wasn't going to question where his status was in the heroin family.
Turns out he was more of a sire.
Yeah. Turns out he was the heroin jester. But still, you don't really question a guy who says he's the heroin king. You just dealt with him like, oh, my God. You got back to your house. You laughed with your buddies. Like, oh, my God. Let's not tell our parents about that.
Yeah.
And years later, tell them about that. And your parents go, oh, my God. But the kids are so protected now, and it's scary. It's fucking scary. Like, everything is planned. I can't even imagine growing up like that. Like, I look at my nieces and nephews, I'm like, oh, man, like, what are they going to turn out like? Like, what are kids going to be like in the next 10, 15 years?
Well, your little niece, she's got a broken arm, so she's kind of playing.
Broke her arm on the monkey bars.
Whoa.
Yep.
Go. Oh, where was the parent?
They should have a sign signed by the monkey bars, like, breaking kids' arms since 1974. Monkey bars.
You think you're making it to the fifth bar?
Everyone said that. Everyone said that. But I don't know. It just frustrates me. Like, I want kids. I always wanted kids. But I hope that when I'm a parent, if I'm a parent, that I am better than... Or at least understanding and letting kids be. How do kids grow up if they're never allowed to grow up?
Well, I think that's also adds to the scariness of it. It's not only just what every parent is doing. If you go against that curve, it's the backlash of how can you do that? What are you talking about? What happens? And blah, 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 blah. If the kid comes back with a skid knee, oh, no, Scott over there, he lets his kid do this and that, and he's in trouble, and he gets hurt. We gotta call child affairs and blah, blah, blah. There is no just, you come back crying, oh, I skinned my knee. Walk it off, throw some dirt in there.
Yeah, or like, everything's not a big deal.
No.
Maybe sometimes you fall down and get hurt. Mm. Maybe sometimes, Michael Berlew, someone didn't include you in their group.
Yeah.
Maybe...
That happened a lot, but still.
I mean, again, we're still working on it. If you want to be the guest host, please email verbalshenaniganspodcast@gmail.com for just put new title, new host in the headline. But thank you. But
those were dark times as a kid.
But maybe this is what shaped you to who you are. Now, is there things that they do good now? Like when like kids are really getting picked on now, there's a lot more understanding. But it's things that go too far. Now you coddle kids so much that when I was in high school, when we were playing soccer, we were hazed so bad. Like, I wasn't even hazed that bad. I was a little bigger, like, taller. But some of the kids got hazed so bad. I remember we had to get on the soccer field on our knees and say, beep, beep, I'm a Jeep. Go all the way across the soccer field while varsity was on one side, JV was on the other, and they ripped balls at you to try to hit you while you were crawling across the field. Did we cry about it? No, we kind of laughed about it. You got hit in the ribs. Yeah. You said, holy shit, that hurt. And you went, oh, man. And then you got the kid the next year.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of the problem with life right now, where it's...
Nowadays, letting freshmen carry the water for the team is called hazing.
Nah, that's... I mean, that's kind of thing. I mean, it's kind of like when my dad came up a couple weeks ago. Like, we were telling stories. I was laughing my ass off how he would spank me on, like, certain occasions. And we were talking about, like, how in
the... Did he give you one for, like, old times? Say, like, come here, come here, son. You. Come here, son. Pull the pants down.
Oh, Dad.
Not in front of my girlfriend. She's like, spank him.
Yeah, she was kind of brown-nosing with my family, but that's another story. But it's just so funny. Like, I talked about, like, the last time my dad whooped me, how, like, he spanked me, and I thought it was so cool, and I gave him a look like, is that the best you got? Oh. And then he turned around, and he whacked me good.
Put his hand through your asshole.
Yeah, pretty much. You know, like, I walked out of there, I'm like,
know it's a good spanking when you got a bruise on your stomach.
Yeah. But the funny part of the joke was, like, my dad always tells, like, after I left the room, he was like, oh, God, my hand is killing me.
Yeah.
And you laugh at that, and that's just part of life. But everybody sits back and goes, well, if it's a traumatic moment at that second, ergo, I'm going to do this 20 years from now, or I'm going to go in this trend, and I'm going to sell drugs, and blah, blah, blah. Like, you can't predict the future. You got to sit back and laugh and let life be.
Yeah, and when... And you probably did something wrong to get that ass beating.
Yeah, I don't even remember the complete story.
It doesn't matter. I'm sure your dad wasn't beating you for... Well,
but that's the funny... Like, I could sit back and laugh. Like, if it was so traumatic, I'd be like, all I did was this and you spanked me, blah, blah, blah. It's like, I can't even remember why I did it.
Everything is planned for kids. Okay. Snacks are planned for kids. Now, I work at a soccer camp where we're giving out candy, right? We give out candy all the time.
No peanuts.
All the time. So it starts with that, and the coach comes like, oh, I don't know if we're going to do candy next year because the schools are not allowed. And he's right. Now they give, like, they have to come in with, like, healthy snacks for fucking birthday. Like, happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Enjoy my kale chips. Happy birthday. It's like,
you can't even give cupcakes. Right? I remember as a kid, like, it's your birthday. It was the parents made a bunch of cupcakes, and you would go around and give everybody cupcakes. You had spare. You would go to the next classroom, give it.
Now, we still do it, but a lot of schools are done. That'll be gone in the next year or two. And I remember, like, we didn't have snack time in school. We made it to lunch. You know the only kids who had snack time? The kids with diabetes. Mm-hmm. And I was jealous of the kid with diabetes. I was like, damn it, why does Basile get to have pretzels and orange juice every day at 10 o'clock? And I got to wait till noon. I hate you, insulin.
It's kind of like the poor kids who got, like, the free breakfast. I'd be walking around like, damn, I could go for some breakfast. What the hell?
It's just like I was jealous of kids with casts. I always wanted to break my arm. I'm like, come on! You know, like, I wanted to be signed and, like, have a cool color. But, you know, I was, literally jealous of the kid with diabetes. Well, life won that battle.
So I started taking his insulin. Showed him something.
I don't know. There's gonna be weirdos in the neighborhood. Maybe instead of always fearing everything, maybe learn how to deal with things or how to avoid things like when they're presented to you.
Too much work.
It's funny. There's a guy in Lyndhurst. I used to hang out. I used to have a band, and the other guys were from East Rutherford. We used to meet, and one guy worked at a gas station, but his boss would let them hang out in the gas station after hours, and we would, like, drink beers and have fun and party. And they told me about this guy named Woo Woo. Okay? Now, Woo Woo, he's been on Weird New Jersey and everything. Woo Woo is, I don't know if I'm allowed to say retarded or whatever. But
special
thought. He has a police scanner and hops on his bike every time there's a fire call or something and makes the siren noises of the thing. Like, so he'll be like, So I met Woo Woo a bunch of times, you know. Not the most normal guy in the world, but you just, I don't know, you just say, oh, that's woo-woo. Mm-hmm. But here he is in Weird New Jersey real quick. Weird New Jersey, woo-woo the siren boy. I just friend.
Hi, we're here today with Anita, who's going to show us someone very special in the town of Lyndhurst.
Let me think.
Princess.
Okay. Now, we're going to meet Ryan, who is known here locally as what? Woo-woo.
And why is that?
Because he's the siren boy. He does the siren of all the ambulances, the fire trucks, you name it, he can do it.
Yeah, but I could do that, right? Yeah.
So, let's skip ahead.
You think it would echo better inside?
Woo was talking now.
What's going on?
They're going inside the firehouse. That's him.
Wow, he's got a good image.
Pretty good, right?
He's got an act right there.
Yeah. But, yeah, you know, we're not going to stay on it. But the point is...
No, I think we're going there 20 minutes on that.
Yeah, I already asked him to come on the podcast. Oh, so we'll see if he responds.
Uh-huh.
He might be dead.
Say hi to a new co-host.
He might be dead, so who knows. But the point is, I get so frustrated with this, and it's like, the best parts of my childhood were roaming around with the neighborhood kids and riding bikes and building ramps and
adventures.
Sneaking into Krausers and looking at the porn section and getting
in trouble.
Getting in trouble thinking they were going to arrest me. You know, I learned. You know, I had a whole night of fear that they're going to barge down my door and be like, you were looking at Ebony Princesses 2.
CSI.
Get in the car.
Porn.
Get in the car. But I don't know.
Grissom. I got some fingerprints on the Hot Ass magazine.
Yeah, I don't know. But I guess we have no, we don't know what's going to happen.
No, it's, everything has to be predetermined. Everybody's a winner. Everything is going to be okay. By the way, we're burning down everything. We're shooting everybody, and we hate each other.
Yeah, yeah. Did you see a lot of school shootings back when kids were allowed to be kids? Not too many.
I can't even think of any, like, growing up. Like, it wasn't like I was watching ABC News back then.
You weren't?
I wasn't, man. I was doing my thing.
What a weirdo.
Yeah, I was watching Different Strokes, you know.
No, you're watching Dukes of Hazzard. Let's
I watched that, too. Those were on different nights. Let's come on, now. Dukes of Hazzard was Friday nights. Don't be ridiculous.
But anyway, I think that brings us to the end of this cast, Berlo.
Yeah.
You got anything?
Well, since we talked about DJs, I'll just promote my buddy Chris Obando, a.k.a. DJ O. He's been doing a lot of DJing around the New Jersey area. If you're interested about his work and his upcoming gigs.
Gibbs, huh?
Yep.
What is a gib exactly?
A gib is it's a special piece of equipment when you DJ, and all, it goes that bow, 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 kind of sound.
Right.
Specially made for that sound.
Thank you, because I would have forgot otherwise what a gib was. But anyway, why don't you try to get the information of your friend in clear English language?
Okay. If you want more information about him, www.facebook.com/DJO611.
There you go. And I don't even know what I got to promote. Promotion.
You got a promotion?
No, we did not get a promotion.
I'm senior soccer camp manager.
All right, come down to Red Bank on July 30th. I'll be down there with Improv Jam once again. July 30th. But I want to thank our guest, Andy Rivera, DJ Dynamite sometimes, DJ Andy Rivera other times, but also on the Paranormal team. So check him out. Mm-hmm. Support his music. Go download his single. You know, go download a single. It's Home I Drink, and here it is. Life is funny, people. Laugh at it.
Ha.
Keep
ha.
The wind
ha,
at your back.
Ha. Ha.
Keep
ha,
the
ha,
wind
ha,
at your back.
Ha, ha,
keep
ha,
the wind
ha,
at
ha,
your back.
Ha,
please subscribe on iTunes. Please subscribe on iTunes. Leave a review. It really helps. Please subscribe on iTunes. Please subscribe on iTunes. Please subscribe on iTunes. Or follow us at Twitter at BS Comedy. Please subscribe on iTunes. Please subscribe on iTunes. Please subscribe on iTunes. Good night, people.